we need to, again, we need to understand exactly who we are and what we have. Too many of our young people wonder. It seems like the only people prospering are the pastors. You know, it seems like this word isn't for everybody. I say, of course it's for everybody. Well, how come we don't see it in everybody? Everybody doesn't believe it. They said, but they're in church. It doesn't mean anything. So Pastor Clinton, you said, you can go in the garage and go vroom, vroom. It doesn't make you a car. Okay. All right. Unless, of course, you're like me and your last name is Carr. You know. But just because you're in church doesn't make you a believer. It doesn't make you a believer. As a matter of fact, too many churches are filled with people not believers. You know, as I've told, most of you have heard me say this before, I didn't play basketball. I was a basketball player. And there was a big difference. When I was learning to become a basketball player, I played basketball. But there was training. There were disciplines. There were things I had to make sure my physical body was in shape for anything that the game required, period. I couldn't say, wait a minute, this guy's a little strong, postpone the game for 3 weeks, let me go to the gym and buff up. No, whatever I was presented with, I had to act, not react, I had to act. As believers, we are too caught up on details. Believers don't care about the details. Let me ask you something. I hope you have it running because I think I'm already in. Okay. In your knowledge, of all the times you've read about Jesus healing someone, how many times did he ask him, what happened that brought this on you? He never asked. He didn't go to the host of the reception at the wedding in Cana and say, didn't you order? What happened? Didn't you know how many people were coming? You know, did folks drink more wine than you anticipated? No, the details didn't matter. All that mattered was there's a need. And I have the ability to fulfill it. Amen. See, we want to get in folks' business. You know. Oh, yes, 2017, I'm telling you, just God told me, don't pull any punches or I'll pull you from the lineup. So if he tells me to say it, I'm going to say it. Okay? Don't kill the messenger. You can't anyway, but what? But we do. Someone will come and say, would you pray for me? You know, I'm having problems in my marriage. Why? None of your business. Your job is to pray and change, not question and judge. I'm going to back up. I should know what to expect when I come here because you folks just pull it. I have it in a nice order inside and I come before you and you just pulling it off. No, I want it now. I want it now. Turn to John 3:16. Because he wants me to share this with you. Because I'm going off. He said, no, go back to our plan. Like, I didn't mean to deviate, but I didn't blame you to God. I didn't say it's their fault. I never will. John 3:16. This year, he told me to share these passages out of the Voice translation. Okay. said, for God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but have everlasting life. I love the way he puts verse 17. Starts, here's the point. God didn't send his son into the world to judge it. Instead, he is here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. That's why Jesus came, and that's why he gave us the ability to be born again, so that we can not judge the people, but rescue those that are headed for certain destruction. Amen? Let's go to Mark 11. We're going to get into our study, which is called believiology. Don't look for that word in a dictionary or a textbook. You won't find it. Okay. Because when we finish, you are all going to be certified believiologists. And you're going to speak a new language called believe-a-mese. Because when you believe him, it's easy. Okay. All right, this is lesson 3. Mark 11, verse 23 and 24. This is after Jesus had cursed the fig tree. And they were coming back, and they passed by it, and the disciples were amazed that the fig tree had withered. And Jesus answered them and said, and saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, say believe, that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. The Phillips translation says, have faith in God, replied Jesus to them. I tell you that if anyone should say to this hill, get up and throw yourself into the sea, and without any doubt in his heart, believe that what he says will happen, then it will happen. That's why I tell you, whatever you pray about and ask for, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. Folks, that's a familiar verse. We read it I don't know how many times, and we focus on speaking and confession, and we should. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to speak. We need to confess. But we don't put enough emphasis on believing. See, you can speak God's word from now till Jesus come, and it'll have no effect in your life if you don't believe it. How many of you know what a weapon is? It's okay. I don't have my badge with me. Okay. See, I was going to ask you what's the believer's weapon. But I'm just going to tell you. Believer's weapon is not prayer. It's not Bible study. It's not even God's word. A believer's weapon is his or her belief. Period. See, if you don't believe, it doesn't matter what God's word says. If you don't believe, it doesn't matter how much time you spend praying. If you don't believe, it doesn't matter how much time you spend praising. See, how many of you have ever heard of a war and the two armies came against each other and they didn't have guns? But they had bullets, and they took the bullets out of their pockets and threw them at each other. Okay? Those bullets were not effective because they were not coming from a weapon that was designed for them. When you put bullets in a weapon that's designed for it, it becomes a powerful force. We were designed to believe. So you take God's word and load it into a believer. Now it's a powerful weapon.
Hallelujah.
Okay? So all those other things we talk about, the prayer, that's ammunition. It needs to be loaded into a believer, pointed in a direction, and released. That's when the power comes. That's when it becomes powerful. Other than that, you're standing there with bullets, and you walk around like Barney Fife on Andy Griffin with a gun with nothing that's not loaded. And you're going to get one bullet buttoned down in the pocket. By the time you get it out, it's over. And that's what happens to too many of us. Because we're not believing, and a situation comes and say, okay, I got to believe. I got to believe. Oh, Lord, I believe. I believe. And then it's too late. And then you say, Lord, but I believed. Yeah, but it took you 30 days, 5 years, even 10 seconds. It's too long. See, believing God cannot be our second nature. Believing God has to be our nature, period. Period. Because see, if it's second nature, you're going to do something else first. It has to be what you do. As an athlete, I could anticipate certain scenarios. I would look and I'd see something develop. Oh, they think they're going to do a pick and roll. I see what they're doing. And I would immediately move and take that option away. Why? I saw it coming. How'd you see it? I've been trained. I listened when the coach started telling us different scenarios. I worked hard in practice. And so when game time came, it didn't matter. I didn't care. I didn't care who they were, what their reputation was, their one look. I didn't care. Why? Because I'm a basketball player. That's what I do. I'm a believer. That's what I do. I don't care about the deal. I didn't care what caused the blood clots to form. There's plenty of time to find that out later. I had all the information that I needed. There were multiple blood clots in my lungs. This is a job for the believer. I mean, that was... to the point where the doctor said, you're not anxious? No. May I ask why? Sure. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. He said, but don't be dismayed. I've overcome the world. And the Amplified Bible says, I've taken away its power to harm you. I said, so doc, you could say, in this world, you could have blood clots. Don't be concerned. Jesus has overcome them, and he's taken away their power to harm me. Period. So we have other people in here, they're in intensive care. What does that have to do with me? 1,000 will fall on one side and 10,000 on the other, but it will not come nigh you. Amen. Folks say, yeah, but they came to you. I thought you were a believer. Jesus said, in this world, you will have, not you might have, that persecution's going to come for the word's sake. Persecution came to make me say something other than the word. That's what it's supposed to do. Jesus said the thief comes. He didn't say the thief might come. He said the thief comes. And he's coming with the intent to steal, kill, and destroy. So it doesn't matter that he's coming. You know what matters? What he runs into when he gets there. That's what matters. And when those things ran into a believer, according to the CT scan, they went, and instead of going that part where they go right in, revert to here, he said for some reason they stopped and went to the right and the left. That's what, and you see it in a CAT scan. He said, it's like someone went like this. I'm like, exactly. Okay. Exactly. He had to take away their power to harm me. What would have happened had I not believed that? I wouldn't be standing here. It's that simple. I would have been gone. My pulmonologist said to me, he said, this may sound strange, but I don't know why you're alive. I'm like, I do. He said, no, you don't. He said, one is enough. What you had, he said, there are very few people that survive that. I said, well, I'm a believer. We believe. I believe, yes, yes, I do believe. But see, you can't stop believing just because something happens. And I've used the account of Peter when I've shared that with you. And we've been taught for years, well, Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, and so he sank. Scripture doesn't say that. The scripture says when he saw the waves. Right now, I'm standing over here, and I'm looking at my wife. I'm looking at her. I can see what's going on over there, and I can see what's over here. It's in my field of view. So even if I'm looking at her, I can still see other things going on. See? So if you want to stick with, well, Peter, he was looking at you. Yeah, but he still saw the things going on. And he saw the winds blowing, you know, the effect of the winds on the waves. And as he is walking on water, tell your neighbors, as he was doing it. As he was walking on the water, he saw the waves and he said, I can't walk on water. And what happened? He started to sink. Period. See, he believed it was Jesus, but he had not yet come to being a believer. Years ago, Mommy built this grill in our backyard. This was huge. First of all, there were 10 of us, 2 children. But this grill, I mean, had to be, I'm talking about the cooking surface. This was like this and like this. She had, there was rebar and all that stuff. And, you know, I say she built, it's really we built, mostly I built. You know. And we're making forms and pouring concrete and all of this stuff. And she planned this celebration, this party, and invited all these people and was cooking all these food. And all of a sudden it started storming. And most of the people didn't come, and she had a fit. And she's, among other things, she said, I'm sick of these fair weather friends. I'm like, what's a fair weather friend? I'd never heard that term. She said, those people only come around when things are right, when things are good. When all conditions are perfect, they come around. See, we can't be fair weather believers. Because if we are, we're not believers. See, we have to be who we are regardless of what situation comes, knowing that the weapon we have is far superior. Our youngest son went into the army, I don't know, 17 years ago. Yeah, because I think Jatay is 18, I think, or 19. Well, I remember all ages. It was some time ago. And he went in as a tank operator. And I was talking with him, and we're talking about different scenarios he might face. So I wanted to make sure that he was mentally ready. And he said, Dad, I'm going to be in an M1A1 tank. That didn't mean anything to me, because I'm not a tank guy, you know. He said, there is no other tank in the world better than that one. None. So it doesn't matter what I come up against. Once I point that barrel and release that missile, it's toast. Period. And he wasn't concerned about it. Because he had training instructors who taught him everything that he needed to know about that tank and how that tank operated. He went out on maneuvers and practiced using that tank in all sorts of different situations. So when he was over in Iraq and he had orders, he followed the orders and didn't care about the details or anything like that, because as far as he was concerned, he was in an M1A1 tank and there wasn't anything out there better. I asked myself, well, is that still the best tank? He said, nope. I said, well, who has the best tank now? He said, Israel. Now think about this. So now his mindset is the Israeli tank is better than the M1A1. Now he's not a tank operator anymore, but if he were, and he's in the M1A1, and he comes face to face with an Israeli tank, what's he thinking? Okay. All right. Is he still believing? No, see, because the basis of his belief was in the tank, not God. See, so believing is great, but your belief has to be based on the right foundation. Let me share with you some things that the Bible says about God's word. Just let me get to it, because we're not in the order I thought we were going to be in. Okay. Hebrews 4. I'm going to share this in the Message and the Amplified Bible. And I do that not to impress anyone. I read every translation I could find of every scripture I ever share with you. And the one you hear me share is the one the Holy Ghost says, no, share this one. All right. It says, God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. The Amplified Bible says, for the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are opened and exposed and revealed to the eyes of him to whom we have to give account. We're talking about God's word. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 and 17, also in the Message Bible. But don't let this faze you. Stick with what you've learned and believed, sure of the integrity of your teachers. Why you took in the sacred scriptures with your mother's milk. Listen to this. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us the truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. Let's go old school. Isaiah 55. Starting with verse 10. Just as the rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth. I'm sorry, this is the Message translation. Until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. So whatever God says goes, period. Isaiah 46. I'm just going to read the end of that verse. God said, truly I have spoken. Truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Be assured I will do it. And of course, John 6:64, which I shared earlier, Jesus said, every word I've spoken to you is a spirit word, so it's life-making. So just based on those few scriptures, we need to understand that the word of God should be the foundation of our belief, because it's only the words from God that have any power. That's why in situations, folks, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. I'm not opposed to cards that say healing scripture or prosperity scriptures or, you know, happy marriage scriptures. I'm not opposed to those things. But in any situation, as a believer, you need to go to God and find out what He wants you to say about that circumstance. We're too quick. We'll get out healing scriptures and start confessing healing scriptures. Or we'll say one that we remember. But not, God, what do you want me to do about this diagnosis? What do you want me to do about this letter, this notice that I got? What do you want me to do? And let Him tell you. And then you say exactly what He tells you to say, because His word will not return empty-handed. God said, I hasten, which means I watch over my word to make sure it does what I sent it out to do. He doesn't do that with our words. He does it with His. So that means our mouth has to be speaking God's word. Our mouth has to be speaking God's word coming from our weapon, our belief. Because if we're not speaking God's word through the weapon of belief, you might as well sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Because that's about all you're going to get. Not because God's word isn't true, but because you didn't believe it. Let me show you this in Mark 9. Again, this is in the God's Word translation. We're not a King James people. Most of the time, the Holy Ghost will give me translations that talk in plain English and that are easily. I told God, I'll teach whatever you tell me to teach, but please give it to me in a way that to share it that it's easily understood. Right. Mark 9, beginning with verse 17, says, a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son. He is possessed by a spirit that won't let him talk. Whenever the spirit brings on a seizure, it throws him to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes exhausted. I asked your disciples to force the spirit out, but they didn't have the power to do it. It wasn't that they didn't have the power. Jesus said to them, you unbelieving generation. He didn't say you generation that don't pray, that doesn't study the law. He said, you unbelieving generation, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him to me. They brought the boy to him. As soon as the spirit saw Jesus, it threw the boy into convulsions. He fell on the ground, rolled around, and foamed at the mouth. Jesus asked his father, how long has he been like this? This wasn't for Jesus' knowledge. He wanted the crowd to know, to learn something. The father replied, he's been this way since he was a child. The demon has often thrown him into fire or into water to destroy him. If it's possible for you, put yourself in our place and help us. Here's this person walking up to Jesus and saying, if it's possible for you. Why do you think he asked Jesus that question? Did he not know who Jesus was? Because Jesus' disciples, the people that Jesus trained personally, couldn't do it. So if the student didn't have the power, the teacher didn't have the power. If his disciples couldn't do it, then the one who trained them probably couldn't do it, because if he could do it, he would have taught them how to do it. That's why, folks, we have to understand who we are as believers and use our weapon so people will know. If it's possible, I can. It's a good thing I wasn't Jesus. I'm like, excuse me? Is it possible? That's why I'm not him. Okay. But Jesus said to him, as far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes. The Message Bible says, Jesus said, if, because the man said, Jesus, if you can do anything, do it. Have a heart and help us. And Jesus said, if. If. There are no ifs among believers. Anything can happen. There are no ifs among believers. How many believers do we have in here? There are no ifs. Anything is possible because you believe. Mark 11. Mark 11:22-23, in a Living Bible, Jesus said to his disciples, if you only have faith in God, this is the absolute truth. You can say to this Mount of Olives, rise up and fall into Mediterranean, and your command will be obeyed. All, listen to this, this is key, folks. All that is required is that you really believe and have no doubt. That's it. That's all that's required. Listen to me. If you can pray for anything, you can pray for anything, and if you believe, you have it. It's yours. Period. Another account in Matthew 9, two blind men were following him, and they were crying and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus said to them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. But now listen to how the Message Bible puts it, because it's really, really powerful. That's why, don't you know, that's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. It doesn't say read, it says study. And when you're studying, you find a verse, you read it in every translation you can find, you read commentaries about it, you look up the words in Strong's Concordance in a dictionary so that you can find out what's actually taking place. In verse 29, you know, in the King James says, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith. In the Message Bible, it says, he touched their eyes and said, become what you believe. Become what you believe. You already believe. Yes, become what you believe. Simple. Simple. You believing to be an honor student? Become honor students. You believing the finances are there for the college of your choice? Become students of that college. Just become it because you believe. You act like it's done. You should be talking to your teachers now, finding out what classes you're going to be taking, working out your schedule. So when the time comes for you to go, everything's ready. Start a relationship with the admissions office. Let them know who you are. So you're more than just a name on a list of people that want to attend this institution. Send them your report cards. Let them know. These are the classes I'm scheduled to take next semester at my high school. Is this good? Because when I come to whatever that university is, and this is going to be my major, will these help me? Is there something else I need to be taking? You become what you believe. But you're not going to do that if you really don't believe that you'll get into that school. I mean, after all, it's rated highly competitive. You think God cares about that? All you need to do is ask him, what school do you want me to go to? And then fire that weapon. It's just that simple. We did it. The school paid for some of her tuition and was mad about it. At least this person was. I don't know why we're doing this. We've been in this institution's been here for 301 years and we've never done this. And I don't understand why we're doing it now. You think I care? She said the words I wanted to hear. Your daughter's tuition is paid. Glory to God. She was mad. God didn't say that the person would have to like it. It'd be better for her if she did it and she wasn't doing it grudgingly. You know, she would have been happy. You know, but we need to understand something. Our praise alone is not a potent weapon. It's great ammunition. Load it into a believer and release it. Now you have the type of power that will bring forth a shaking that will only affect what's binding you. You think about that. An earthquake. The only thing that happened during an earthquake, this earthquake, was that the shackles on all of the prisoners fell off and all the doors to their cells swung open. Nobody else in town knew there was an earthquake. No one else knew. The street wasn't filled with people running around. Everybody in the prison felt the shaking. Period. Nobody else. God has one of those special kind of earthquakes for all of us. For all of us, if we will believe, it, folks, I don't get upset. My wife doesn't get upset if God blesses us and doesn't bless somebody else. We're not going to say, God, we don't want it. That's not right. No, we thank him because he's now empowered us to go out and bless somebody else. When we go out, now our spiritual radar is out there, all right, God, who do you want us to bless? Because it's not unlike him to tell us to pay for someone's check or whatever. Whatever it is, it is. We don't care. We're just so thankful to be in the position to do it. But he said he'd give seed to the sower. So if you're sowing, he has a responsibility to give you seed. We believe that. We act like we believe that. And so we have that. And we want you to have the same thing, but you have to do the same thing we do. You have to believe God. Remember, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. See, we get excited. So God said, all things are possible. You're leaving an important part out. He said, to them that believe, to them that know how to use their weapon, all things are possible to them. If you don't believe, nothing's impossible. Nothing's possible for you because you don't believe. In Luke 5, I like this story. This is out of the International Children's Bible. There was a man who was paralyzed. Some before that, I got to read before that. One day Jesus was teaching the people. The Pharisees and teachers of the law were there too. They had come from every town in Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the King James Bible says, the power was there to heal them, yet none of them were healed. So obviously there were people there that needed to be healed, but they wouldn't believe. So even though the power was there, they couldn't take advantage of it because they didn't believe. Well, some guys heard about it, and they had a friend who was paralyzed. And so they said some men were carrying him on a mat. They tried to bring him in and put him down before Jesus, but because there were so many people there, they could not find a way to Jesus. They couldn't get into the house. The place was packed. So the men went on the roof and made a hole in the ceiling and lowered the mat so that the paralyzed man was lying right before Jesus. Verse 20 said, Jesus saw that these men believed. Why do you think he thought they believed? If a stranger comes to your house and cuts a hole in your roof, either they believe or they're crazy. Jesus saw that these men believed. So he said to the sick man, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees thought to themselves, who is this man that he's saying things that are against God? Only God can forgive sins. But Jesus knew what they were thinking. He said, why do you have thoughts like that in your hearts? Which is easier to tell this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to tell him, stand up and walk? But I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive. That the Son of Man, that humans, say that means me, have the power, have the authority on earth to forgive. See, you have to realize Jesus was operating as the Son of Man, not as the Son of God. Because if he can do it as the Son of Man, well, we're sons of God. That means if he can do it, we can also. And Jesus said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, stand up, take your mat, and go home. Then the man stood up before the people there. He picked up his mat, and he went home, praising God. Okay? See, folks, it wasn't that Jesus spoke to the fig tree that caused it to wither. What he spoke was fired from his weapon of belief. And it was that belief that caused that fig tree to dry up from the root. As my mother used to say, from the root. Okay. It just dried up. Because he believed. And his belief made his words effective. When the disciples, when the people came to Jairus and told him that his daughter was sick unto death, Jesus didn't say to Jairus, okay, you better start praying. Okay, you better start praising right now. No, he said, don't be afraid. Only believe and all will be well. That's what he said. All will believe. If Jairus didn't believe, then what Jesus did would have been ineffective. If you don't believe, then everything Jesus has done for you is ineffective. Because you won't believe. I'm getting ready to close. Remember, believing has nothing to do with details. Nothing. Details, why something happened, is irrelevant to the believer. Do you realize, folks, that believing is the basis of the Great Commission? If you're not a believer, you'll never be able to fulfill the Great Commission. Turn to Mark. I'm going to close with this. Mark 16, starting verse 15 in the Phillips translation. Then he said to them, well, first of all, let you know how believing is important. After all that Jesus went through with his disciples, after they saw him arrested, beaten unmercifully, crucified on the cross, buried, and risen after 3 days. They saw this. Yet when he met with them before he's about to ascend to heaven, he had to get on their case about their unbelief. And I'm like, what else did they need? They saw everything. Some translations say he chided them most severely. Why? He was about to give them an extremely important assignment. You must go out to the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. He who believes it and is baptized will be saved, but he who disbelieves it will be condemned. These signs will follow those who do believe. That's very important to understand, folks. It doesn't say these signs will follow those who follow the daily Bible reading guide. No, you need to understand that. It doesn't say these signs will follow those that spend at least 15 minutes praying in tongues every day. There's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus didn't say that. He said these signs will follow those that believe. Because if you believe, you'll pray. If you believe, you'll read your Bible. They will drive out evil spirits in my name. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes. And if they drink anything poisonous, it will do them no harm. They will lay their hands upon the sick and they will recover. Let's stop right there. There are too many believers that leave people in the hospital to die because they're thinking about the details. And they say things like, well, they took a turn for the worse. And I'm thinking, but you're there. You're there. You are there. And let's just say that all the conditions indicate that the person is going to die. And you know this person is saved, so you know where they're going. Then what about coming to his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise? I had to say that to a family. They were getting anxious. They were getting angry with folks that weren't family, that were in the room. Like, our mother's going to die, and this person won't leave so we can have our moments and all. And I'm like, hold it here. Your mom says she's ready to go. Yes. I said, may I share a verse with you? And I pulled out Psalm 100. And I said, what were some of her favorite songs? Sing them. Sing them. Send her into glory in grand style. Because you believe that's where she's going. And they looked at each other. And I'm like, and I told the visitor, I told the friend, you know, say what you need to say and let the family have their time with their mom. But this is someone who was ready to go. What about the ones that are not? Are we going to take what the doctor says when we possess the most powerful weapon ever known to mankind, our belief? There's no antidote for our belief. There's no countermeasures that anyone can take for our belief. If you're a believer. Now, if you're not a believer, someone can talk you out of it. Very easily. And do. All the time. I know what your faith says. But we've run this scan and this scan and this scan and this scan. And all of them say that their heart is not going to be able to keep beating after maybe 3-4 hours. So whatever things you want to say, you better say them now. Folks go, oh my God. I don't know what I'm going to do. You're a believer. Believe. I saw there's a medical program about emergency rooms. And this grandmother, she had children, she had 10 grandchildren and 40 great-grandchildren. 40. And you can look at the people that, all I can say is they were, quote unquote, a religious family. That's the way I have to say it. And I say that in a good tense, not a bad tense. And they diagnosed the grandmother as being very, very strong-willed, you know, and holds fast her convictions. But everything that the doctors in the ER did, flatlined. And they had to go out and tell the children, we did everything we could. We have some of the most current this, that, and the other, and she's gone. They told the family, you know, they cried, they went home. Doctor's sitting down, he's writing the report, and he's upset because he said this was a lovely woman. She was 70 years of age, and she was going to a celebration for her birthday. And the nurse came running in, doctor, you got to see this. He said, no, you got to see this. They're looking, and she's fully covered because they're getting her ready to take her down to the morgue. You see the cover going like this. And the doctor looked, he's like, I don't know. And the other nurse said, this has never happened before. And they took her blood pressure was 120 over 70. Her heart rate was 80. Doctor, what do we do? That's what they said. What do we do? He said, call her family and let them know. He said this was the first time anyone, he's ever seen anyone come back from the dead. The code, they ran the code for an hour and 15 minutes. And according to that hospital, Robert, I guess that's a long time to run a code. But that's how much this doctor was trying to keep her, to bring her back. But she came back. I love to sit down and talk with her and find out what she believes. Let me finish and let you guys go. Yes, he is. Now remember, all of the casting out, laying on of hands, speaking in all tongues, all of that's based on believing. On believing. Then after all, he said, Bible says, after these words to them, the Lord Jesus was taken up into heaven, and he was enthroned at the right hand of God. They, meaning the disciples, went out and preached everywhere. Say everywhere. They didn't pick and choose, folks. They didn't study neighborhoods. They didn't look at crime statistics and figure out where it was safe to go. They went everywhere, they preached everywhere. The Lord worked with them, confirming their message by the signs that followed. And I'm thinking, so if the signs were following, then they had to be believers. Because Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. Believe. So really, folks, if there's anything going on in your body, we were driving up this morning, and, you know, the doctors say, you know, as you get to be a certain age, you will get floaters. you know, where it's like a moving spot, you know, that, and it looked like this dot was looking at me, you know. And, you know, first thing, you blink, and it's like, you blink all you want. I'm not going anywhere, you know. And so I'm just, I didn't pull over, walk around, and work myself up, and I'm just driving. And I just said, in Jesus' name, spot, you dissolve. You're not going to be a distraction to me. It went like, and I haven't seen it since. Amen. I mean, just simple things. Why? When that spot appeared, it was game time, and I've been trained.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, and that's the way you need to look at it. So they say, it's game time, and I've been trained. See, when you have that attitude, you don't care about the opponent. It's game time. Have you been properly trained? Yes. Do you believe? Yes. What else is there? What else is there? It doesn't matter if the other team's been undefeated. They just haven't faced me yet.
That's it.
I mean, that's all it was. And you cannot be afraid. I use natural examples so you understand them. I was talking with Pastor Clinton one time over in Nanuet. We were sitting in the atrium, and he liked boxing, and I liked boxing. Neither one of us liked what it morphed into, you know, but, and he was talking, he said, what do you think about this guy, Mike Tyson? He said, good God, no, who's going to beat him? I looked at him, I said, Dad, first person that's not afraid of him. Just like that. And he said, what do you mean? I said, they're afraid of him. I mean, he doesn't come out like everyone does in this regal robe and stuff. He's one of his early fights, when he came in the ring, the handlers had to hold the other guy up because he looked at him, and the guy thought, you know, he won by a TKO. I mean, come on, Michael Spink lasted. I was so mad, I spent $80 for that fight. And was over in a minute and 21 seconds. just settling down. Okay, it's over. You know. But I tell the first person that's not afraid of him will beat him. That happened to be Buster Douglas. Buster Douglas seems to be afraid of everybody else, Roy. But he was on a mission. When I found out that Buster Douglas' mom passed away, I knew Mike Tyson was toast, because now he has a purpose. He's fighting in memory of his mother. And he trained like he never trained before. And he came into that ring probably for the first time in years in shape. And he knocked Mike Tyson out. And Mike Tyson has never been the same person since then. So you cannot be afraid, Zena. You cannot be afraid. It doesn't matter someone's reputation. Doesn't matter how many years they've been in the business as opposed to you being in the business. None of that matters. All that matters is that you believe that your gifts and talents came from God. Period. And it doesn't matter what anyone else says. You understand? It does not matter what anyone else says when you have a word from God. In the Amplified Bible, it says that Gabriel said to Mary, with God, all things are possible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. So the only thing that matters is who said it. Did God say it? Yes. Believe that, and you'll have success. And I'm going to unhook to let you guys go home. The weapon of a believer is his or her belief. It's the only weapon a believer needs. Take the sword of the Spirit. If it's not backed up with belief, you might as well have a toothpick in your hand. Take the shield of faith. wherewith you'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How many of them?
All.
That means none can slip in if you believe it. If you don't believe it, don't bother carrying it, because it won't do you any good. We're believers, and we fight like we believe, and we win because we believe. Father, I thank you. I know there's communion. I give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord. Thank you for starting us off this year on the good foot, the right foot. Yeah, we know all things are possible for you, but all things are also possible for us if we would just believe your word. Well, Lord, we thank you because we have a better understanding now as to our belief and how powerful a weapon it is. We thank you that by your Spirit you'll show us how to skillfully use the weaponry you've given us. You'll let us know what ammo to load, and you'll tell us when to release it. And we'll be obedient to do exactly what you tell us, how you tell us, and when you tell us, Lord. Because we are going to experience the full victory that you've given us in Christ Jesus this year. This year, we're thankful that old things are passed away and all things have become new. With this new year brings new hope, new opportunities, new possibilities, and it also brings new challenges, new trials. But you know something, Father? We don't care about that because we're believers. And we understand that you said trials and tribulation and stuff is going to come. And we're going to do exactly what you said. We are not going to be dismayed because we know you have already overcome it and you have taken away its power to harm us. So we keep walking in the directions that you pointed us. Thank you, Lord, for sticking with us even when our faith wavers. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah.